It is 4 o'clock on a Thursday, which means it's time again for Everything Under the Sun here on KD&K. This is Raleigh Burley, Super Sun editor, here live in the studio, joined by...
I'm Arthur Cherith.
Arthur Cherith, one of our youth contributors with the Super Sun, and now the Super Stars.
Congratulations to everybody at the Soper Stars. If you haven't read the paper already, the Soper Stars is a youth insert, 4 pages, and me as well as my fellow interns have brought all of our works together to have a monthly issue. So go check it out. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's fantastic. A fun bit of trivia for you as well. You'll notice a cool logo with Sopris and a moon and many stars on the cover, and that was designed by Arthur, who is an artist. You'll find Arthur's work also on an article about AI in Glenwood High School, a nice little piece there. And am I missing anything, Arthur?
Nope.
That's it for this month,
yeah.
But the Sopris stars will be appearing every month. And we have a goal of bumping it up to 8 pages for next month because we already have a lot of content ideas stacking up and some enthusiastic people on the team. So if anybody's interested in supporting this initiative, please reach out to the Sopris Sun. You can reach me at news@soprissun.com and I'll get you connected with the right people to support local youth journalists telling their story here in our valley. And speaking of people telling their story here in the valley, our guests for the day, we have Cassidy Wiley. Hello, Cassidy.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I just learned that you were born here and grew up in the valley.
That's right. I was born at Valley View. I graduated from Glenwood High School, and I also was a youth journalist. I used to write a column in the Post-Independent.
Oh, wow.
What was it? Cougar were the middle school. Demon Doings. That was the title of the column.
Oh, that's fun.
Demon Doings. So basically explaining what people are up to at the high school?
Yeah. Yeah. It was just kind of my like hot takes as a high schooler on what was happening around Glenwood and what was important to us as teens.
That's fun. Yeah. That's, yeah. Same thing as the Super Stars. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. I'm really excited about this new insert. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you for being here. Can you tell us a little bit about why you're here?
Yes, absolutely. I am super excited to invite come one, come all. I have an opening reception at Main Street Gallery for a new body of work that I've been generating. Some paintings that I'm really excited to share with the community and an artist talk as well. So next Thursday, November 6th, from 5 to 7, Main Street Gallery in Carbondale will be staying open, and we'll be inviting folks. There are light refreshments and hoping that the community comes to look at the art, check things out. And then at 6 p.m., we're going to have a little artist conversation with my friend Renee and I.
Well, this being radio, I'll pose the challenge to you, Cassidy, to describe as best you can what these paintings look like visually for our audience.
Great. So I say that I do fluid, abstract landscapes, which means that a lot of my process is very dependent on water. And the materials that I use, the paints that I use, are also liquid-based. So I use liquid watercolor, I use high-flow acrylic paint, liquid metals and acrylic ink, and they're all different densities. So when I mix them all together, the way that they, and then add water to it, the way that they mix together is very fluid and unpredictable and creates different color combinations, different shapes that emerge. And then I actually tip my pieces as I am working with the water, which causes the paint to run in various ways. That said, the pieces that you'll see at Main Street Gallery are all based on rivers, local rivers in the area, and they follow the exact specific banks of each of these stretches of river, and then the paint flows off from there. So you might have seen my work in a few places already. It's been in the Aspen Times. It's been in the Soper Sun today. Thank you, Soper Sun. for the future. There's a white river running through, and then the abstract landscape takes off from there.
Mm-hmm. So it's on our calendar page. If you have a Sopra Sun handy and you want to turn to page 17, then you can see it for yourself.
And I guess another thing to add, just on like what you see visually, there's also a lot of texture that gets created with the layering of these paints. So that's something that doesn't necessarily translate in newsprint, but you can see when you see the pieces up close, the texture that builds when these different paints meet one another.
How big are they?
It depends. I work with mineral paper, which is a really interesting type of paper that I wasn't familiar with before. And the largest sheet that I can currently find is 22 by 30. And then I also have smaller sheets from there. I really love long, skinny pieces. So I've done a lot of 11 by 30 inch pieces. And then I have 11 by 14s. And
that's really neat.
Yeah.
I really like, and I'm looking at it now, but can't wait to see it in person. But I really like how, as you talked about with the way all the, like the water ebb and flows with like the different densities and the minerals and stuff, it really does create like a very earthy, like watershed coming off of where the original river is. And it really, it feels very like earthy and very like the painting is just kind of blossoming.
Oh,
so it's very, yeah, no, you guys, you have to look at it. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I feel like it's very organic the way that flows. And I think earthy is a great way to describe it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in my paintings, I've been just deliciously surprised by what emerges, whether it's a flame or a feather or like you used the word watershed, which in these river pieces beyond the river, what I'm creating is not literal, but you can start to see valleys and ridges and trees almost emerge as you look at these landscapes.
Yeah, exactly. What inspired this?
That's a great question. So I've been a creative my whole life. And I've spent the last decade and a half dedicated to professional theater. In the beginning of this year, I found myself without any theater projects on the horizon and a lot of creative energy. So I decided to start painting. And I, at first, it wasn't a dedicated effort. It was just a way to pass some time one afternoon. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed it. And the more that I showed up to paint just as a little afternoon meditation, the more I started to lean into what I loved about what I was doing, what I didn't like as much, and started finding artists that I was inspired by, and it just kind of grew into a passion.
Yeah.
And really, more than anything, it became a practice of showing up without the pressure of creating something.
Yeah, which is important. Like,
it's so
important. I talked about that when like working on the Sopra Stars. It's hard to really get yourself to show up. And I often struggle with waiting to find inspiration instead of, you know, showing up every day and putting a constant effort into it. And I think that that is really important to like teaching us patience and also just accepting as we are.
Yeah.
And earlier, we talked a little bit about kind of moving from the theatrical arts over to now painting. And I wanted to ask, what are some of the like similarities you have found? And also, what are some of the things that surprised you going into this?
Yeah, there's a lot in there. And before going into that specifics, I just think that's so beautiful what you said of waiting for inspiration versus just showing up.
Right.
And I think that's something in any creative practice, like inspiration comes and goes, but if you can be committed to being open to it when it comes, that's when some really powerful work can be created. And it's hard to carve that space out in your life. It's really hard.
Vulnerable almost.
It's so vulnerable.
You know, it's like, and it's hard to be, it's tiring emotionally to be, you know, that open and vulnerable all the time. So being able to create that space for yourself, for it to be an open and vulnerable space as is really, really beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you. I, I would say that that's a work in progress because it's very easy to fill your time with other things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Nobody's perfect.
Finding the time and protecting the time.
And protecting the time. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I feel like I could talk about that forever.
that's a whole thing.
So as far as the creative process and some overlaps, similarities, and differences with painting and theater, one thing that I found right away is just like how fickle creativity can be. You're like, I have all this energy, where does it go? And then you put it somewhere and you're like, well, your inner critic comes out and you're like, well, that's not what I wanted to make. That wasn't how it was in my head. Which I think is similar in theater too. And as a theater maker and as an improviser, part of Consensual Improv, a founding member of that group as well, I think this idea of play is so central to who I am as a person, but who I am as an artist and maker as well. And taking the pressure off and just letting yourself squish around, I think is so important. So, you know, early on as a theater maker, that's how I like to lead as well, whether it's as an actor or director. I like to get in there and feel and play with it first before we start setting specifics.
Being involved, not just getting through it.
And not just taking like a script at face value and then having a vision that exists in my head and then making people do a thing as a director. But rather like, all right, we're collaborating as a director, as an actor, as a playwright, a producer. We're all in this phase of collaboration together. We're all bringing different things to the table. We have different strengths. We have different weaknesses and blind spots. How can we as a team make the most magical, the most true, the most playful version of a thing? And I think in painting, it's similar. When I allow myself to show up and to try and fail and make mistakes and make terrible art. But be like, oh, I learned something there. I learned what I don't want to do. Then it clears the way for more of what I do want to do. And again, I think it goes back to if you have a practice, you can allow yourself to play within those boundaries. You don't have to put as much pressure on. Yeah, I think I answered your question.
Yeah, no, totally. I think the concept of play is also like a really fun concept and stance to think about, because when we are learning, I think of like kids, you know what I mean? And you give yourself the lenience to be able to make mistakes and be able to learn and be able to show up without feeling the stress of everything else that could be pushing down on you. So really the concept of just letting go, letting yourself learn while also fully embodying enjoyment into it as well is really, really powerful on a personal level.
And embracing that beginner's mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have an 8-year-old and watching him just move through the world, there's no level of self-consciousness. You know, he's just showing up and like, if something feels good or is fun, or, you know, he moves in funky ways sometimes. It's so inspiring to me. I also move a lot, so that doesn't really translate on radio, but I talk with my hands a lot. but to watch my son and to get down on his level and just see the world from a fresh perspective, I think is also one of the most informative things that I found in all of my art making, whether it's theater or visual art.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I paint a lot with my kid, and to see the things that he comes up with too, I'm like, man, how did you do that? How did you make that?
It's a fresh perspective, which is really, really important.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I think about just the difference between performance and play, and how play is for ourselves. It's something that we do because it feels good, versus performing, which we might do on a stage or in our art. And there might come a stage where our play evolves into performance in a way that's very authentic. But it's this thing for other people then. We're letting others in and we're giving them a gift at that point.
Yeah.
It's a lot more personal that way.
It's interesting. I always I think improv has shaped a lot of who I am and my worldview. But I think that's a really apt description, Raleigh, that play is for ourselves and performance is inherently for other people. Mm-hmm. But there's this really weird, blurry line with improv where we get up and we get to play and be goofy and free on stage. But then when we do it in performance, other people get to be part of that, almost like an inside, like they get to be part of the joke.
Do you feel that's kind of like a different topic, but do you feel like when you're doing improv on stage for people, there's a difference like in how you are feeling the skit or acting when there's an audience?
You know, maybe years ago when I first started performing improv, and I think, again, that's kind of the self-consciousness of like, oh, am I funny? Am I good enough? Am I playing the rules of this game correctly? But I think the more that I've done it, the more free I've become, and the more I just, it lives in the moment. It's ephemeral. And so whatever we create, as long as we're setting up our fellow players on stage to support one another and to, like, if I'm making my scene partner look good,
right?
If my whole intention is to be there with them and for them, and they're doing the same for me, you can really let go. And there's this process of surrender that does make it almost like you don't think. You know, you're very aware, but it's flow.
Yeah.
So I think less so the more that I've gotten into it.
Do you think the energy of the audience adds anything as well?
Oh, like, for sure.
It's just a different spirit to it.
Yes. I mean, in that sense, there's nothing like a live audience, says the theater maker. which has been interesting, like in this visual art journey, moving away from a very in the moment feedback with an audience and feeling with an audience to creating work alone and to, you know, hanging it on a wall in a gallery, which is incredible. But then also not being there in the moment to see how it's affecting people and how people are reacting to it, or if they're feeling something from it, which is something that I miss, because that connection is really important to me. And I do hope, you know, there's something in all art, in all original art, when you're like, I made a thing. And then if somebody's like, I feel that thing that you made. That's the best.
It's being seen. I think that's one of the most beautiful things, is like really, like, 'cause art in itself, you know, talking about performance versus play, it is very, like I said before, it's vulnerable. And it really opens up a lot of ourselves that maybe we can't speak out loud, maybe we can't express. And being able to have someone else look at this vulnerable part of you and have it invoke something in them is beyond words. Like, the one thing that I've always said is that art in itself is a universal language. And it's one of those things that you don't need to say anything to understand.
Yeah. And when someone can see themselves reflected in the art that you create, whether it's a joke that you make on stage, an improv, or a piece, a painting, to see themselves and their experience reflected in that is so powerful.
Yeah.
It's absolutely so powerful.
It's a shared moment.
Yeah.
I think the thing with theater is that it's a very, it's a shared moment. You're there in the moment with someone, and there's nothing more like intimate than sharing a moment with someone and sharing a laugh, being able to like feel and experience things in that moment with someone. And like you said, with like things like resonating with different people, like that's something that you can also relate to, whether it's, you know, maybe social interactions you've had, like, that kind of thing. Yeah. But it's beautiful.
And our heartbeats, when we're sitting in a theater together, in a live theater, our heartbeats sync up. Like, by the end of act one in a play, the audience hearts are beating together, which I just think that's such a cool fact. That's such a cool thing about biology. I don't, I can't explain it, but there is nothing like it.
So powerful.
Yeah.
For people just tuning in, this is Everything Under the Sun, and today we're speaking with artist Cassidy Wiley who does have an opening reception for her work at Main Street Gallery in Carbondale on November 6th from 5 to 7 p.m., a week from today. And that'll be an opportunity for you to see how people are reacting to the work in real time. And then I just wanted to also mention that it's at the Joy and Wild Gallery in Redstone as well.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that part. It's quite different, or maybe similar in other ways to theater, but having to sort of market and get into the galleries and get your work out in front of people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great question. You know, I think a lot of it is about relationship building and showing up and being part of a community. And it, going back again to that vulnerability, I, as an artist and as a theater artist, have a lot of practice being vulnerable. So I think when I go to meet new people and to make new connections, it's, I'm very comfortable being in that uncomfortable place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. and so, yeah, I, with both galleries, I'm so just thrilled to have my work in both galleries, and both gallery owners are just incredible. Just the kindest, most warm, inviting people. They really believe in local art and local artists and investing in the communities that they're a part of, both in Redstone and in Carbondale, and representing people who are not only from those communities, but that their art really speaks to something unique about each of those places.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dream. It's a dream. So I feel so grateful to both galleries and any future galleries as well. but I do think there is a level of putting yourself out there and promoting a thing. And I guess, you know, one of the big differences here, a lot of the theater that I have been a part of is collaborative and is either with an organization or with a group like Thunder River Theater or Voices, or, you know, these organizations that have a wide reach and lots of connections and relationships, and that you're part of a team. And as an independent artist, I think of myself as part of a team. You know, I'm a collaborator inherently. So the gallery owners that I work with, my husband, my son, you know, mm-hmm. anyone I'm talking to on the street, my yeah. friends hear a lot mm-hmm. about it. I like being in touch and having conversations with people. So yeah, but it is different, you know, promoting yourself as an individual, and sometimes it can feel vulnerable of like,
yeah.
oh. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, I love the work that I'm creating. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about connecting with other people over it. And I do think there's a deeper resonance there for people to feel, is my hope.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And so this series focuses on rivers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious why you chose to focus on rivers, and also how you get the accurate riverbank mapping
yeah.
that you base your work on.
It's so
on.
Cool. It's so, yeah. So as I started really honing in this process of the fluid paints, I had this idea, this vision that I wanted to do that process of paint on the banks of a river. So I started looking for satellite images of rivers that I loved. It's very hard to find.
Mm.
Beyond like a few very famous stretches of famous rivers, it's very hard to find aerial photographs because I didn't want it from a side angle.
Mm-hmm.
And even Google Maps, if you zoom in, it's blurry. The borders are blurry. It's not as clean as I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that backstory, I shared it with a friend of mine who is a water scientist at CSU. He's a professor. And he's like, oh, I can build that app for you. I was like, what do you mean? You can build an app for? What are you talking about? He said, yeah, with open source data, I can build what you're looking for. And in a couple hours, he had created this app that I can zoom in to any river or stream in the United States.
Wow.
Choose how long of an upstream stretch that I want and how wide I want the riverbanks. And all of this data exists.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can trace the rivers from there. So it gives me a really clean white line with black on the outskirts.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
So all of the rivers that I trace are actual like curves and things from from the actual rivers. They're not just my imagination. And that said, I can, if you are interested and have a river in mind that you have a special connection with, I do commissions. That's something that I really love digging into with people. That home stretch of rivers.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
and
go ahead.
About the Y rivers.
Well, there's the Y Rivers question. And earlier, before we got on the radio, you were mentioning something about the confluence of the Rhine Fork and the Crystal.
Yeah.
And a diptych
yes.
that you've done. We only have just like 2 minutes left,
okay.
So you'll have to tell us super fast.
Okay. All right. Well, for me, Y Rivers are the lifeblood. They're home for me. Their joy, their peace, their sorrow, their solitude, their the glue that stitches our communities together. And I think especially in the dry mountain west, there's something really powerful about a body of water. So that's something I've always been drawn to. And I have very deep connections with our rivers here. And the diptych, yes. The one of the paintings that will be at Main Street Gallery is a diptych, so two different pieces that are part of one piece together, of the confluence in Carbondale, so the Crystal River and the Roaring Fork River where they meet. And it's a pretty special piece, so I hope you can go check it out.
November 6th, from 5 to 7, Main Street Gallery in the Framer here in Carbondale. Thank you so much, Cassidy Wiley, for joining us on Everything Under the Sun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.